Allah talks about sajda when something incredible happens. Allah talks about sajda when a miracle happens. When the sorcerers, the magicians, saw the staff of Musa turn into a snake, a giant snake, and eat whatever ma ya'fikun, whatever they had made up, they couldn't help themselves. They fell into sajda. Allah Azza wa Jal first announces to all of the angels, and we understand that it includes at that time Iblis among them in this announcement, Inni khaliqun basharan min teen. I am about to create a human being from dirt or from clay. So Allah has, when He's saying this, He has not made Adam yet. Adam alayhi salam has not been created yet, but the announcement has been made that Allah is about to do it. This is khaliqun basharan min teen. And then fa'idha, the word idha in Arabic is used for describing something that is going to happen in the future. Fa'idha sawaituhu wa nafakhtu fihi min ruhi. And when I'm done balancing him, and when I blow into him from my ruh, so it's none of this has happened yet, it's going to happen, then he says faqa'u lahu sajda, then fall into sajda before. Now, there's a discussion about lam that I had with a notable scholar many years ago, and I was surprised that a few months ago he agreed with what I said about this. And I'll talk about that in a little bit, but I want you to focus first on the first piece of this conversation. Allah has described that He is about to create our Father, and He has also described the process He's going to use to create us. He says, first of all, I'm going to make Him from teen. Now let's pause here for a second. We're not the only creation on this earth made from teen. In fact, all of the animals and all of the species that exist on this planet also are made from teen. So that's the common element between us and the rest of the life that exists on this planet. All of the animals and all of the insects, all of it, that's from teen. Fine. But there's something additional about this creation that He's about to make, our Father, and by extension us, that is more than just teen. There's something more than just this animal presence, this animal existence. And by the way, we have something in common with animals. Animals seek food and shelter. We go to the grocery store seeking food. We go to the restaurant seeking food. We look for shelter too. In fact, those are the two primary things that drive us to get an education and get a job or start a business. At the end of the day, it boils down to food and shelter. What's in the fridge? And whether or not you're living in a home that has proper shelter, are the electricity bills paid, is the water running? What I'm trying to say is, we're just way more advanced at getting food and shelter than animals, but at the end of the day, those are the same basic functions, and then they procreate. They have children, they continue the species, and that's what human beings do too. So in that sense, as far as the continuity of life, we're not that much different from the animal kingdom. And from what any other species does. We build homes, a bird builds a nest. We go out and, you know, seek our rizq, and the birds go out and they seek their rizq. But then Allah adds, He's informing the angels, why is this creation from dirt different from all the other species that exist? فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ When I make Him balanced, when I make Him balanced, taswiya is actually to perfect and balance the craft of something. So for example, if somebody's designing, or welding metal, they kind of make sure that the metal is welded completely even, and they have tools to make sure that it's completely straight. That's called taswiya. So Allah says that there's a level of balance and perfection that is going to be added to this creature that doesn't exist in other creatures. But in one sense, other species physically have way more balance than we do. Monkeys can hang on one arm. They have pretty good balance. Birds have amazing reflexes, right? So this is talking more than just our ability to stand up on 2 feet. Allah is telling us that human beings will have an ability to balance opposing things. They're going to have the ability, for example, to balance their individual needs with the needs of their family. They're going to balance their personal responsibilities with social responsibilities. They're going to balance their rights and their responsibilities. They're going to balance, our entire life is actually going to amount to balance. And in fact, today, now, there are, you know, there's a multi-million dollar industry that, you know, teaches, successful people, business people, executives, they attend these work-life balance seminars, right, to achieve balance. And Allah says that human beings have the potential, this human being will have the potential to live a life that is evened out, that's balanced. as one of the great qualities of the human being that Allah describes that's going to make him amazing. So first he's made like every other animal, but then he's got this remarkable ability to balance things. And then he says, on top of all of that, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي. By the way, one aspect of balance before I go further is he says, the balance is actually between our impulses, our emotions, and our thought process. So let me explain what that means. When a hungry dog sees something, it goes and it bites it. It doesn't think about the consequences. There's the emotion and then there's the action. That's it. But human beings, they can look at something and say, no, that's illegal. No, that's haram. No, their mind comes in at work. They think about the consequences. You're getting late for work. There's a red light, right? You have the ability to balance your emotion, your need, your desire to get to work early, but your need to abide by the law and stop at the red light. We're able to balance our thoughts and our emotions. Unlike other species, when they have an emotion, they have an impulse, they jump on it. They react. But we can think about the consequences. We can think about the long term. We can hold ourselves back. That's actually one of the great names of our intellect in the Quran is Al-Hijr and An-Nuha. These are words that are used to describe our intellect. And Al-Hijr means a boulder, a rock. Because a rock is a barrier to moving forward. And An-Nuha is prevention. Because our mind prevents us from doing stupid things. It gets in our way, and sometimes I get overwhelmed with emotions and we make stupid decisions, or we say things we shouldn't have said, or we do things we shouldn't have done because we weren't thinking at the time, because we let our emotions get out of balance, right? So Allah Azza wa Jalla here says human beings will be made with this amazing ability of balance. Then he says, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي. And then on top of that, I will blow into him from my own ruh, meaning the ruh that Allah especially designed for this human being, this special spiritual connection, this special thing that will connect him, this human being, and Allah together in a unique way, in this unique, powerful way. That's what's going to be inside him. So this ruh is inside him, unlike other animals and other species. There's a special kind of thing, a special kind of light inside this human being. So he's made up of these three things. He's made up of dirt, and he's made up of this balance, and he's made up of this ruh. Three components Allah described in this ayah, and he let the angels know, these are the three parts that will make this human being amazing. And when these three things come together, then فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ, then fall into sajda. So when you study sajda in the Qur'an, you learn something. If you just scan the entire Qur'an and look at where Allah talks about sajda. Allah talks about sajda when something incredible happens. Allah talks about sajda when a miracle happens. When the sorcerers, the magicians, saw the staff of Musa turn into a snake, a giant snake, and eat whatever mayafikun, whatever they had made up, they couldn't help themselves. They fell into sajda. When Christian people came to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they heard the Quran, تَرَى أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ, you're going to see their eyes start rolling with tears, يَخِرُّونَ لِلْأَذْقَانِ سُجَّدًا, they fall on their faces in sajda, because they're so overwhelmed by the miracle of the Quran. There's even an incident in the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, where when the ayah, the kuffar were listening, the kuffar, they don't even believe in the Quran, they were listening. فَأَنذَرْتُكُمْ صَاعِقَةً مِثْلَ صَاعِقَةِ عَادٍ وَثَمُودٍ. When the ayah came, I warn you of a thunderbolt like the one that came to Ad and Thamud. They fell into sajda. They couldn't even help themselves. They fell into sajda. The Quran is describing over and over again, when something overwhelming happens, something incredible happens that Allah does, that only Allah could do, that a human being feels so powerful, it's like their knees buckle and their pride disappears, and this thing that carries our pride falls on the face. In every culture, historically, this is the place of pride. This is why the king wears the crown here, not on the wrist. Nowadays, the status symbol is an expensive watch, or so that's on the wrist, right? But historically, what is the show of pride in every culture is what goes on the head, right? The turban goes on the head, the crown goes on the head, you know? This is the show of where you stand. There are countries in the world today where they have certain kinds of headgear. Only the locals can wear that. If you wear that, you get in trouble. You can wear a different color. You can't wear, that's their color. That's the elite class, you know? This is our pride. This is our sense of position in society. And you know what? All of that disappears when you recognize the power of Allah. You're overwhelmed by that. You just fall into sajda. That's what the Quran describes over and over again. And Allah is making a claim here to all of the angels. And the angels, it's important to note, the angels don't just see the scene. The angels are creatures of the unseen. So what is invisible to us, like the arsh of Allah? What is invisible to us like the jinn? What is invisible to us like the secrets of the skies? Many of them, the angels, they travel through the skies. So we can be amazed by a mountain or an ocean or a waterfall. The seen world, that amazes us. When somebody studies the universe and looks through an electron microscope, they can be amazed by the vastness of the seen universe. Can you imagine? Add to the seen universe those that have seen the unseen also. How much more amazed by what Allah does are they? And then on top of that, they get to communicate directly with Allah. Allah talks directly to the angels. They're not like us. They have direct back and forth communication with Allah. And Allah is telling them that this creature is so incredible. Of all the vast universe that He created, of all the things that He put in this remarkable seen and unseen kaun, He says, this one thing is so powerful that every last one of you should be overwhelmed at what Allah has done when He created Adam. That you should fall into sajda. You should just be, you know, like in awe of this incredible miracle of Allah that deserves that all of the angels of Allah, فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ, all of them, all together, fell into sajda. Hey guys, you just watched a small clip of me explaining the Qur'an in depth as part of the Deeper Look series. Studying the Qur'an in depth can seem like a really intimidating thing that's only meant for scholars. Our job at Bayyinah is to make deeper study of the Qur'an accessible and easy for all of you. So take us up on that challenge. Join us for this study, the deeper look of the Qur'an, for this surah and many other surahs on bayyinatv.com under the deeper look section.